Last week we were starting a two-lesson series, as it turns out, on a number of different things, talking about Bible boot camp is what I'm trying to think of. You know, thinking, asking, and studying the Christian as he approaches the Bible. Kind of like a boot camp. You know, boot camp is for military, of course, but it's for those to be trained in the very basics. And some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is the same thing. Learning some of the basics of living the Christian life and applying them to our life. We noted, first of all, last week, what David said to his son Solomon as he was laying on his deathbed. And you recall, it was not that David was warning Solomon, his son, about foreign relations or military strategy, not domestic affairs or anything like that, commerce, taxation, none of those things. But he does tell him about his personal greatness. That is, David's was telling his son Solomon about his personal greatness, and the personal happiness depended upon him living out the precepts of God's word. And so as we come to the end of Ecclesiastes, well, we see this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Hear, fear God and keep his commandments, for these are the will of God. And you know, things are not a lot different today than they were back in David's day. There's just all kinds of things that we see in our society, problems, temptations. We have to grapple with all kinds of moral issues, abortion, anti-God media, just pornography, ungodliness of all sorts. And what the world wants, oftentimes, part of that has rubbed off on us as Christians. We think that we want kind of have a magic formula for these things, but there is no magic formula in the areas of life, and the same is true as far as a Christian's life is concerned. We noted also that, you know, why is there so much ignorance in the Bible today with so many Bibles in print all of the time? Most of the people you ask will say, well, we just don't have the time. Or another one is, well, they don't believe they can understand. And one fellow said, I'd love to study more, but it's so hard, and you need a degree in theology to study it. And, of course, then there are some who say that religion is boring. I don't understand people like that. I don't understand. See how they can say things like that. You know, the Bible is full of adventure, greed, murder, intrigue, plots, giants, battles, excitement, riots, prisons, emperors, governors, good and bad. Leading characters in the Bible, some of them were shipwrecked, assassinated, beaten, and left for dead, imprisoned, glorified heroes. Some they glorified as heroes who were not. And, of course, they focus a lot on the flesh, on money, and power. And so the real problem that we have today is that we're not convinced ourselves so far as the value of our soul or the souls of others. So why should we study the Bible? We looked at that a little bit last week. First of all, because God commands it. And secondly, Bible study increases our faith. And faith is an essential element that we must have as a part of our character and how that we are to be governed by in our behavior through a study of the Bible and increasing our faith. Nothing will convince a person of the validity of the Bible more than studying the Bible itself. We could read Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've read that passage and quoted that passage many times over. We see Isaiah prophesying there in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." But again, we're not to study books about the Bible so much as we are to study the Bible itself. Most books are written today that are written today are not hardly worth the paper that they're printed on. But nonetheless, people, because of a catchy title or a pleasing cover, why, they will grab those off the shelf rather than some book that will give give a real answer to some of the pertinent questions of our day. But we still have to go back to the Bible and rely upon the Bible, what it says. Then another thing that we, I think, probably stopped the lesson last week with number three about studying the Bible and why we should study the Bible, is that it reinforces us against temptation. In Psalms 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word." We heard it even this morning in Bible class about when Satan was tempting Jesus. You remember how he responded to that? That is, Jesus said, "It is written." So there are those things. When we also, the need to study our Bibles is because we ought to study the Bible because it's going to prepare us to teach others. We have to acknowledge the fact that Christianity is being overtly attacked today, unlike any time before in our country's history. And so as those challenges have increased, so has the opportunities. And I think sometimes maybe our thinking hasn't kept up with the opportunities that are actually ours. We have a lot of challenges today, and we focus on those, but we need also to focus on helping others, leading others to Him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the familiar verse says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." It's not enough just to say, "I know the Bible." We have to know the Bible, but it also has to be put into application in our life. We need to be able to turn to the Scriptures and there understand it, believe it, and be well enough versed on it that we can teach others those things. In Ephesians chapter 6, talks there about adding our armor, or adding the armor of God to ourselves against all of the devil's schemes. And out of all of those pieces of armor, there's only one offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit. So no matter how good or strong our faith is, no matter how moral we are in life, if we don't have the knowledge of the Word of God, then you can't defend it. You can't defend your faith. You can't defend your hope as well. Another thing that we ought to study the Bible because it enriches our spiritual life. In Psalms 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." There's only two things that's going to be left when this world is consumed and destroyed totally, and that is God's people and God's book. We read about those a number of different places in the New Testament. But when we talk about people, when people say they don't have time, or they're afraid that they're ignorant of it, you know, they're afraid they don't have a good spiritual life, and they don't realize how vital Bible study is to them. You know, doesn't it make sense that God, our Creator, would provide for those whom He created His Word in a book, the Bible? It seems like He would be eager to give us an owner's manual, and that's exactly what we have in God's Word. So there's a number of different things that the Bible is very relevant on. You know, do you ask a number of questions? Do you struggle with worry or anxiety? Some people do. Even Christians have problems with that sometimes. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Do you stumble with marriage problems? Ephesians 5:20, go back to verse 22, really, but in verse 33, it says, "Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Do you struggle with integrity at work or play? Colossians 3:19 has a little bit of help there. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Other people struggle with materialism, the constant quest for more and more and more. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 helps us there, where Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." Someone has well said a long time ago that the Bible that is falling apart almost always belongs to a person whose life is not. But how can we more effectively study the Bible? How can we make the Bible come alive to us? Well, first, we need to commit ourselves to reading and studying the Bible every day. If you don't, then your spiritual cupboard or cabinet is not going to be is going to be empty when you go there to draw some of the resources out that are there, that could be there. So we need to develop a habit of studying the Bible, reading and studying the Bible, and make it a daily routine for you as an individual, maybe as a family, the entire family. I know we're busy, and we all have the busies today, but we have to get past those to get into what is really important. And we certainly don't want, in doing all of these things, we don't want to compare our knowledge with others. That'll tend to discourage us beyond measure. So you have to stay with it. Get through that first month of doing these things, day by day, bit by bit, piece by piece, and you'll see progress being made. You'll see yourself growing, and I've heard and could almost guarantee the same outcome where one fellow says, when I look back and I see that the greatest year of my life spiritually has been this last year when I started studying the Bible every day. Another thing that we need to do, be more effective in our Bible study, is to use a readable translation. There's the King James Version, the New King James Version, the American Standard Version, which is out of print, the New American Standard Version, and the ESV is called the English Standard Version. Those are probably the most often used book, and certainly they're much more conservative in approach to the scriptures than many are. A lot of people my age and older used and memorized the King James Version. And it is a tremendous version. Its language is rich, it's majestic, it has kind of an air of dignity, but the style of speaking is no longer what we hear in our everyday conversation. In fact, the Bible will speak of a besom, B-E-S-O-M. Not very many people know the meaning of that. It's a broom. So we have to be very careful about using any translation, whether it be the King James Version or New King James Version, American Standard New American Standard Version, or the English Standard Version. I think more young people are using that today than any other translation. But we have to be very careful about paraphrases. Paraphrases are like the Living Bible. Is simply a paraphrase, the thinking of one man's thoughts and interpretation. Another thing that we need to do so far as having an effective study of the Bible, and that is we need to start at the right place. Remember, first of all, that the Bible is not a novel. It should not be read or expected to read that way. There's 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. All of them are different. There may be similarities between some, like in the Gospels, for instance, but they're still different in approach, things like that. And that might be a good thing for us to start there in the Gospels. A lot of people start in Genesis and just read straight through the Bible. There's all kinds of programs available on the internet, I understand, and flyers and tracts, where it's nothing but a schedule of reading the Bible through every year. Some choose to just start out with the Old Testament, then move on to the New Testament after studying the Psalms and Proverbs. Another thing that helps us with Bible study, and that is to memorize. If we memorize Scripture, thy word I have hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee, in Psalms 119 verse 13. If all of a sudden all of the Bibles were done away with, how much Scripture could you quote? That should wake us up a little bit, shouldn't it? I would be embarrassed, I'm sure, if I'd sit down, pencil in hand, and try to write down all of the passages of Scripture that I can quote. Don't be afraid to do that. Someone has said here a few years ago, talking about the Bible and how the Bible came to us, said something along the lines that there are some 20,000 fragments and manuscripts, so that the Bible could be reduplicated from the existing fragments and manuscripts that we have intact. Another thing we need to do is to make our Bible study more practical, and that is to focus on the content of what you're studying in any given book, not the amount of material that you cover. You don't want to cover like so many chapters necessarily every day or whatever, but just slow down, sit down, and study diligently. Kind of like if you're going to go to a restaurant and eat a fine meal, you wouldn't rush through eating and then getting up and leaving. You'd order the food and then enjoy how good it was. In Psalms 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the path of sinners, nor sits nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Remember that the Bible is not an end in itself, or reading the Bible is certainly not an end in itself. Man does not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God has given his word to us so that we might transform our lives to be pleasing to him. And that's not a hard thing to do. In fact, if we really love God, it's going to be easy for us to do those things. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become such. And keep in mind some of these things, basic things of being a Christian and studying the Bible. If you're here not a Christian, we become such as together we stand and sing.